When you say you trust somebody, it's like taking that key and giving it to somebody, and you believe they will take care of you. To trust somebody is to abandon yourself to that person. To trust somebody is to take the position of carefree living. It is to know somebody, or rather, to open the doors for somebody to know you deeper than just the superficial or the surface understanding that we all carry around. It is to open up yourself for somebody to know you deeper and deeper to the levels or to the depths that even you yourself cannot understand. And as I said earlier, it is to abandon yourself to somebody else. You cannot say you trust somebody and yet you're holding back some things. That is not trust. That is caution. And many times we walk in caution and we want to think that that is wisdom. When it comes to walking by faith, it is either you are walking by faith or you're not. People who walk by faith cast all their cares on the Lord. They don't take the position of trading carefully because they have abandoned themselves wholly and to the Lord. To trust somebody is to say, "Know me. Know my heart. Get deep into the deeper secrets, the depths of the secrets of my heart, and know me." When you open that door for somebody to know them, you also gain the opportunity to know them. As much as they are getting to know you, you also get to know them. And so trust is more of a two-way, where you abandon yourself to somebody and that person in return abandons themselves to you, that you may know each other and that you may walk together and you may safeguard one another from the arrows of the enemy. And also, that you may be able to cover one another's nakedness from the eyes of the world. And this is why, when you think about trust and how much it demands of you, because what that means is death to self. What that means is you die to everything you are holding deep and secret to yourself. You die to it and you abandon somebody else to cover your nakedness and to lead you. And that is why then it becomes clear when scriptures grant us wisdom not to trust in men. And we will look at why we are cautioned about trusting men. Because trust demands absolute nakedness. If you're not absolutely naked, then you are not trusting, or your trust has not matured enough where you have completely abandoned yourself to the Lord. So the dangers of trusting men are t- tied in this thing about the nature of the heart of man. And that includes ourselves. And I will begin by speaking about ourselves as individuals, and then I'll speak about trusting other men. And so Jeremiah says, cursed is the man who trusts in another man. That other man includes your heart. The dangers of trusting in yourself is because you yourself do not understand your own heart. Your heart, the Bible says in Jeremiah 17, verse 9, if you could jump there pretty quickly. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Why? Because the heart wants to trust itself. And there are many times you want to do something, you are determined to do something, and when that time comes, you lack the willpower to do it. Because your heart deceived you. People who walk according to the desires of their heart deceive themselves. And I want you to see what Moses says in the book of Deuteronomy. I hope I remember it. Deuteronomy, I think 29. Yeah, Deuteronomy 29, verse 19. Moses has just gone through what the Lord has done for the nation of Israel. And now he is calling them to remember what the Lord has done. And then he comes and says this in verse 19. And so it may not happen when he hears the words of this curse. Let's go to 18. Let's begin at 18. So that there may not be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turns away today from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of these nations, and that there may not be among you a root of bitterness or wormwood, and so it may not happen when he hears the words of this curse that he blesses himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, even though I follow the dictates of my heart. Many times you hear people say, I am okay. Many times you hear people, even though they know what the word of the Lord has said, because the curse that is spoken of here is the curse of abandoning God and serving other gods. Abandoning God and serving other gods. And although Moses was talking about the gods of these other nations, in today's world, the biggest god that many turn away from the Almighty God to serve is the God known as the self. self-understanding. You trust your own understanding. You trust your own wisdom. You trust your own willpower. You trust your own feelings. And so Moses says this, that person who abandons God and serves this God called the self, blesses himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, even though I follow the dictates of my heart. As though the drunkard could be, verse 20, could be included with the sober, I think it's verse 19, yeah. And of course, the Lord will not spare him, but then the anger of the Lord, and so on and so forth. Trust him. Now, let me speak to the body of believers. It is easy to trust the Bible than to trust God. It is easy to trust your understanding of this Bible than to trust God. Many times you have heard preachers preach by the Bible. If it is not in the Bible, they will not talk about it. If it is not written in the scriptures, then we will not talk about it. And so they go by the book, which sounds good, which sounds spiritual, but it is in total denial of the God who wrote the Bible. And many times without knowing, because again, we've read Jeremiah 17, 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Without you knowing, because you are following the dictates of your heart, you end up worshiping the Bible and not worshiping God. Amen. We have had many couples, born again couples, fight and divorce. And they all quote the same scripture. We have had many brethren kill each other, and they all quote the scriptures. We have had churches split because they care about doctrine than they care about their relationship with God. They have abandoned God, and they have followed the dictates of their heart. The minute you think you understand scripture, Paul says, take care, any one of you who thinks he stands, take care lest you fall, because the enemy knows how to set traps, and the enemy will use the same scriptures to entrap you. After all, he tried with Jesus Christ. He quoted when Jesus was being tempted. It is written. He quoted scriptures. Trust him. And so to overcome, you know, the writer of Hebrews talks of the sin that so easily ensnares us. When you look at that, it's not the sins. It's not plural. It's singular. And it has, well, my English teacher will not be happy with me. The word there. The sin. The sin that so easily ensnares you. To overcome that, Paul says this in Galatians 2:20. Again, I will rely on the media to help me. Remember, Paul talks of the two eyes. The eye that knows the will of God and wants to do the will of God. And there's also the I that opposes the will of God. That which I will to do, I do not. And so to overcome the temptation of falling into this sin of trusting yourself, Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, meaning I no longer trust my understanding, I no longer trust my feelings, I no longer trust my will, I have abandoned everything into God. God knows my business. He is the one who runs my life. He is the one who directs me on where to go. He is the one who reveals the scriptures to me through the power of the Holy Spirit. I dare not. Paul says, we will not move forward if you do not come with me. Not Paul, Moses. He tells God, God, if you're not coming with us, if your presence is not coming with us, we are going nowhere. But many times, we want to go because we have read a scripture, oh, it makes sense, and we want to move on. To overcome that temptation is by death. By death. You see, human nature wants to control things. Human nature wants to control outcomes. That's why we control our children. That's why we control people. That's why we control situations. We want to know every detail of everything because we have not learned to cast our cares unto the Lord. It is human nature. But to overcome that nature, because you are no longer of the nature of Adam, you are of the new nature in Christ Jesus. But for you to abandon everything to God, you must die, completely die to self. So Paul says, it's no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I don't know whether you've seen people who live carefree. Not careless, carefree. They are not worried about mortgage. They are not worried about bills. They are not worried about school. They are not worried about this and that. They don't spend sleepless nights because of worry. Why? Because they have matured to cast all their cares unto the Lord. Amen? Remember, throughout scriptures, we are warned about trusting ourselves. Just to mention a few, Proverbs chapter 3, 4 to 7, if you can put it up on the screen, that will be great. Trust in the Lord. Proverbs 3, 4 to 7. Trust in the Lord and lean not, dare not lean in your own understanding. The minute you lean in your own understanding, you have abandoned God. In all your ways, not some, all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. He knows which way to lead you. He knows the traps the enemy has laid for you along the way. So he knows where to lead you. He knows how fast you ought to move. He knows when you need to stop and stay still. He knows when you need to slow down. He knows all this. Acknowledge him in all your ways. Again, it takes maturity to get to that point. When you find yourself worried about one little thing, the best wisdom I can share with you is cast that worry unto God. There is somebody who takes care of that. There is one who takes care of that. Just acknowledge him. Cast all your cares to him. But that depends on whether you're willing to let go. Because something Apostle Jacob has always told me that is that control is an illusion. Many times you think you have control over your life. You really don't. It is an illusion. If God is not watching over the city, even the watchmen are watching over it in vain. If God is not watching over your family, you're doing it in vain. Verse 7. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Do not be wise in your own eyes. How much have you abandoned yourself to God? The more you abandon yourself, the more you draw near to God, the more he draws nearer to you. The more you desire to know him, the more he will come. He already knows you, as a matter of fact. He will reveal his heart to you. The word of God says it is the duty of kings to search the heart of God. And God is delighted to reveal his heart to them. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Job 28:28. I'm giving you a lot of work back there. But it's okay. Job 28:28. And actually, if you read the book of Job, Job 28, Job is giving a detail of how man, in his own wisdom, has scratched the surface of the earth, dug deep to retrieve gold and precious metal, and has gone deep into the oceans, and they are extracting oil and all that. But in all this development, now we have men flying into the space and all that. But in all these, wisdom is not there. Would you go to verse 26 before we read verse 28? Now, let me just give you the right verse, just a minute. Verse 12. Where can wisdom be found? And where is the place for understanding? And this question comes after he has spoken of how man has really dug the earth in search of many other things, but not wisdom and understanding. So this question is asked in verse 12, and is also repeated in verse 18. For the price of wisdom is above rubies, above the toppers of Ethiopia cannot equal it. nor can it be valued in pure gold. Verse 20, from where then does wisdom come? And where is the place for understanding? And he goes on to say, verse 28, and to him he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, to depart from evil, that is understanding. If you have a good memory, you have heard Apostle teach that what you fear, you worship. What you fear, you worship. So where is your trust today? Remember, we have read Proverbs 3:7. Do not be wise. Do not rely in your wisdom. Do not rely in your wisdom. And if you find time, go read Proverbs chapter 4. Actually, Proverbs chapter 1 all the way to chapter 5. It's pretty good. So don't trust in yourself. Number two, don't put your trust in other men. Don't put your trust in other men. Cursed is the man, if we may go back to Jeremiah 17, verse 5. Cursed is the man who trusts or who puts his trust in other men. Remember, they are flesh just as you are. Cursed is the man who trusts in men and makes flesh his strength. Because when you abandon yourself to other men, that's where now they begin tearing you down. Because 4 verses down, the heart is desperately wicked. Amen? Actually, exceedingly wicked, deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. You're trusting flesh. When you put your trust in men, you're trusting the strength of their arm, which is limited. They don't know better than you. It is a dangerous thing to trust other men. Verse 6, Jeremiah 17, 6. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert, and he shall not see when good comes, because you're blinded by their wisdom and their understanding and their insight, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness and in a salt land which is not. Trust in other men. He talks of a wilderness. I don't know whether you've seen a desert. When you're in a desert and it is hot, a stone throw away, you see things that come as in a meta. They call them what? Mirage? Looks like water is in front. So there is all these empty promises when you trust other men. And these promises, empty promises, they make you run to them. They make you want to go to them. Only to get there and you find emptiness. Isaiah puts it pretty well. Cursed is the man who runs down to Egypt for help. It's like expecting the wilderness to shower you with blessings. But it's not. You will not see when good comes your way. But you will inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not. Verse 7. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. Verse 8. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes. It doesn't mean that the heat will not come. But when the heat comes, your trust is securely in the Lord. But its leaf will be green. Verse 9. And will not be anxious in the year of drought. Praise God. Nor will cease from yielding fruit. Nor will cease from yielding fruit. And so here is, if I can call it a cheat sheet, to know where your trust is. Are you yielding fruit in all seasons? Because even when the heat comes, they will not fear. Even when your atmosphere changes, you will yield fruit. Even when people are cursing you and calling you names, you are yielding fruit. You are loving. You have joy. Your joy is never taken away. You are constantly at peace because your trust is not in yourself. Your trust is not in other men. Your trust is in the Lord. And so you are always at peace. You're not losing your mind. You're always kind. You're always gentle. When everybody else is impatient, you are patient. When everybody else is broken their promises, you are faithful. You are always yielding fruit, even when the heat comes. You never stop yielding fruit. When they see you, they wonder, how come you are so kind? How come you are not filled with jealousy and envy? How come you are not parading your successes and accomplishments like everybody else? Because you don't trust in yourself. You don't trust in other men. You're trusting in God. The measure to which you are able to trust in God is determined on how much you are willing to die to self. And unless a seed dies, it lives by itself. And so death must be experienced in order to bear fruit for many other people to enjoy. Praise God. The topic of death is a topic that many of us don't like to tackle. But Jesus says something that we cannot deny, that we cannot overlook. It is dangerous to underestimate what he said. And this will probably be the last scripture I will share with you and conclude there. Mark chapter 8, verse 34. Because we all want to be followers of Jesus Christ, then he puts a condition. He puts a condition. And he says, whoever desires to come after me, whoever wants to follow me, whoever wants to experience the life of yielding fruit in and out of season, let him deny himself. Let him deny himself. In other words, let him deny his own wisdom. Let him deny his own understanding. Let him deny his own emotions and his own will. Let him deny himself and take up the cross. You'd rather look foolish in the eyes of men than look wise in the eyes of men. So you take up the cross and follow me. Whoever, because he is not going to force you. If you want to be anxious about things, he's not going to bother you. You have to make the choice to die to all these things that the world cares about and follow him. Verse 35. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. And the way you lose it is you will not have peace. The way you lose it is you will spend sleepless nights. The way you lose it is you will see other people flourishing and you will be envious and jealous of them. Just the way David was almost trapped in that thought. The way you lose it is by putting your heart where your treasure is. And your treasure at that moment is really in the cares of the world. Living the American dream. Having a successful job. Having so many degrees. And so on and so forth. Things that cannot translate into the next life. I saw a picture, a very funny picture on social media of a man who was buried in his car. He loved his car above everybody else. So when he died, they took him, they put him in his car, and they buried him in his car. Whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. Verse 36. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? What will it profit a man? What will it profit you if you trust in your own wisdom that is limited? What will it profit you if you trust in the wisdom of other men, which is also limited? What will it profit you if you gain access to all the gold there is in the world and lose your own soul? What will it profit you? Another scripture I would encourage you to read is Job 22. Lay down your gold in the dust and let the Lord be your gold. Pretty much that's what it says. Lay down your gold in the dust and let the Lord be your gold. Verse 37. Mark 8:37. Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? What can you give in exchange for your soul? There is really nothing you can give. There is really nothing you can give. And verse 38, for whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. So where is your trust this evening? Where is your trust? Now that you have a better understanding of trust, where is your trust? Or, in other words, what are your cares this evening? What are your cares this evening? We have been given, or rather we have been blessed with a mind to understand. To understand Scripture. If anything, Proverbs 4:6 or 4:7 says wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom and get understanding. The understanding you get through reading Scripture is the understanding that leads to obedience of the Scriptures. If the understanding does not lead you to obedience of Scripture, then your understanding is darkened. And let me say that again. If your understanding of Scripture does not lead you to obedience, complete, absolute obedience of the Scripture, then your understanding is darkened. Scripture says that the eyes are the window to the soul. If the eye is bad, the body is bad. If the eye is bad, then how dark is your understanding? Because understanding that does not lead you to absolute obedience of the Scripture is the understanding that leads you to argue with other people. You want to argue for Christ. Christ does not need help to defend Scripture or to defend himself. You don't have to argue for your faith. You don't have to convince people why you believe in God. Let them see your belief through the fruits that you're yielding. Let them experience the power, because the kingdom of God is not just in words, but also in the demonstration of power. So you say you trust God. My prayer is that you have the correct understanding of trust, that you may mature, we may mature to abandon ourselves to the Lord. If the Lord is not watching over you, then all that you do to watch over yourself is in vain. And so I want to pray for you that the eyes of your understanding will be opened and the understanding that you receive will lead you to absolute obedience, where you cast all your cares to the Lord. Psalms 34:5. I said I'll give the last scripture, but forgive me for that. Psalms 34:5, one of my favorite verses or psalms, says this: they looked to him. They did not look to themselves. They looked to him and were radiant. And their faces were not ashamed. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. They did not look to their own wisdom. They did not look to their own understanding. They did not look to other people. They looked to him, and their faces were radiant, glowing. They were glowing. Even though they went through the heat, they did not come out smelling smoke. Even though they go through the valley of the shadow of death, they do not come out the other end smelling death. They are always radiant. They are always yielding fruit. And their faces were not ashamed. When you trust him, he will keep you in perfect peace. That's where we began. When you trust him, he will keep you in perfect peace. May your eyes of understanding be opened, that you may cast all your cares unto him, that you may trust him no matter what. And let that trust be revealed by the yielding of the fruit in and out of season. Circumstances don't change people. Situations don't change people. They reveal what's in the heart. Happiness is fleeting. Joy is everlasting. Father, receive glory, honor, and adoration. Thank you for the words of encouragement.